The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. It's been a fast-moving week, and I just wanted to begin the program today by giving you some stats and also a little bit of feedback that we've been getting from some of you listeners in the past week or two. First of all, SoundCloud. I've mentioned this on a previous program, I think last week, how that the SoundCloud files are now embedded into the trumpet.com website, which allows for us to follow statistics a little more closely, at least with respect to this particular application. We also have other ways, of course, that you can listen to the program on the kpcg.fm website through iTunes. Of course, there's the TuneIn app for your phones or your devices, and we have about 300 followers now on TuneIn. So we have quite a nice small following on TuneIn, and also quite a few people are listening to these programs on KPCG, on SoundCloud. I just took a 7-day bracket, and in looking at the course of 1 week, the listening trends on SoundCloud, it looks like Thursday, Friday, and Saturday are our biggest listening days, the biggest of the three being on Saturday. And if you look at the last 7-day bracket for the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, the two programs that have gotten the most plays on SoundCloud, Identifying America and Britain in Prophecy, that was the one that we played last Friday, 560 so plays. And then right behind that, This Is Not God's World from last Wednesday, that's upwards of 530 plays or so. All totaled over the course of 7 days, 2,100 plays during that time period, which, again, for 1 week on a small radio station, a low-powered radio station that's not even 2 months old, some pretty encouraging statistics, again, just through SoundCloud. Demographics, this is interesting, too. 59% of those that listen to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, at least according to SoundCloud, 59% come from the United States. And in second place is Canada with 12%. Of the listening audience, and then Australia at 5.4%, followed by the Philippines at 4%, and then the United Kingdom at 3%. So we here in the UK, we're going to have to bump up that figure in the weeks ahead. Incidentally, I was just up in Calo, about an hour and a half north of Edstone, for a service this past weekend, and was talking to what had to be one of our most faithful listeners, a sweet woman who told me that she had pretty much the whole schedule for KPC programming in her mind as we were having this discussion, saying that she reserved 2 hours per day for the Key of David and the Trumpet Daily. And then she said, of course, there's the other days where there's programming that only comes on once a week or twice a week. She mentioned the Trumpet Hour playing on Wednesdays and then again on Fridays. So she knew where everything was on the weekly programming chart and was obviously setting aside quite a lot of time to listen to these programs. Very encouraging, for sure. One last thing with respect to the listening audience. All totaled, just in a 7-day period, we had people listen to the Trumpet Daily in 79 countries on Earth. 79 nations. That's amazing to think about how far-reaching this signal is, to think about the potential that this has. We're just starting, and we've already seen pretty impressive growth. I have told you a little bit about the expansion on television over here in the UK with the Key of David UK program. This weekend is the first weekend that we're adding two plays on television to the two that we already have. One of them's on a CBS station, and then it just has a replay an hour later. Well, we're adding two more plays two more stations, I guess you could say, this weekend in the program is titled A World Held Captive. We'll be advertising Mystery of the Ages, as I've mentioned previously. And on that particular program, we also advertised KPCG, or at least I told the viewers that if they wanted to hear more from what we have to say, that they can tune into kpcg.fm on their web browser and listen along with some of you. So that's something certainly to be thinking about. As you pray for this work, I'll talk more about this in the second segment, how you can support this great work that God is doing. As you see doors swing open, as you see the work expand, and with things like this, KPCG, and other mediums that God is making available to this church, to this work, it really is bringing everyone into the work more directly, which is very exciting. Here's a few excerpts from letters, emails that have come in, some feedback from some of you. If you'd like to send your comments or suggestions, you can send them to td@kpcg.fm. Send us an email. Let us know what you think and give us some suggestions, what you'd like to see more of, or additional programming that you'd like to see added to the mix. This one says, words cannot express how much I appreciate and love this new radio station. Finally, finally a voice crying out in the wilderness of deception, crime, and violence that speaks the truth from a biblical perspective, the source of all truth. He says, I'm truly inspired every day by the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding given free of charge of news events going on around this world to see how it all ties into biblical prophecy. What a wonderful education you are providing for all of us to hear. Thank you for all the time, energy, and effort you put into every aspect of this work. It truly is remarkable and awe-inspiring. And I would just add here, there are a lot of people contributing to this effort, and it seems like we're adding others and new projects, new activities every single week. It's hard to keep up with, but even from a production standpoint, it's exciting here at Edstone, and I know back at Edmond at headquarters, it's exciting to just feed off the excitement of others who have their hands in these projects, who are participating in these programs, who are lending help and support to this great work. This one writes, the radio, and more importantly, the online streaming, is such a wonderful way to receive the programming via smartphone or laptop. The radio is an open door, a blessing, but more importantly, the online streaming. I mean, that's how we're reaching not just the little community around the Edmond campus, but that's how we're reaching into 79 countries. It's through the streaming. It's through kpcg.fm or the TuneIn app or SoundCloud or whatever else, iTunes. He says, I listen to it in my car, which is perfect, a perfect way to commute while receiving pleasant music, knowledgeable information on world affairs with a depth of understanding in a mobile setting. It says, in this fast-paced world, perhaps this technology will benefit those of short attention spans and limited time ability. Great job, that one coming to us from Kansas. This one came in response to that program I mentioned a moment ago, This Is Not God's World. I believe that's the one that was on the air last Wednesday. And this listener responds with this. This is a very interesting and much needed message for people to hear. I took Mr. Armstrong's Bible correspondence course back in the 1980s and received Mystery of the Ages as soon as it came out. That was one of the most fascinating books I ever read. I loaned it to a friend. Listen to this. I loaned it to a friend who didn't return it and tried to order another copy, but the church had changed and wasn't sending out any more copies. Not long after that, I had to stop my support of that church. I'm glad I found you. I'm glad I found you. Stay strong and keep doing God's work. Well, hopefully that listener also has a copy of Raising the Ruins, which talks a lot about what happened after Mr. Armstrong died and why they stopped sending out copies of Mystery of the Ages. And just all of the evil and sinister events going on behind the scenes there in the late 1980s, the early 1990s. Well, God's certainly given us the means to distribute that book as well. He gave us the court case victory in 2003, Raising the Ruins in 2006. Of course, the college earlier on. And we've seen great expansions over the years of this work. This one came in from Michigan. She says, I just wanted to tell you how wonderful the new radio station is. I cried the first time I tuned in just thinking about how much God loves mankind and is using every avenue he can to reach the largest audience possible. I listen from my tablet. I can set it up while I work at home. This is a dark, cruel world, and having all the resources to the truth is such a blessing. It's hard to keep up with everything, but just trying helps to keep a headquarters focus. And that's true. There certainly is a lot of material coming out of Edmond, whether you look at printed works or now the radio. Obviously, lots of videos, TV, and so on. A correspondence course, several big books, and other messages. But just having more of it available, having more ways that we can reach through to you, the listener, it helps you to just keep more of a headquarters focus, for sure. A focus on what God is doing. It is, after all, God's work. She says, thank you to everyone that contributes to this great work. Where would we all be without it? I'm so thankful to God. Keep the programs coming. I love them all. I love them all, she says. Another one. Hello, TD team. Thank you so much for the great KPCG programming. I have to commute 45 minutes to an hour each way, and the programs are excellent and stimulating passengers for my commute. Please keep up the great work. We're all so humbled that we get to support this programming and work. That comes from Portland, Oregon. 45-minute commute each way. And he finds some stimulating passengers in these programs that come on at KPCG. I know each Saturday morning we travel from Edstone here down to North London. And that just so happens to be when the Trumpet Hour has one of its replays. And so we're able to, of course, you can get it on demand at any time. But there is something a little more exciting about it, I suppose, as a listener, when you can tune in through the TuneIn app on your phone and know that that's playing on the radio station in Edmond at that very moment. This next one says, I just finished listening to today's program, stayed up late and slept too late to catch it live, but no problem because I can listen to any of the programs anytime I want. So here's one that does take advantage of the on-demand feature. I would have to be a great poet, he says, to convey what the program is doing for me. It's helping to open my heart so much to God. That's a great comment. And we appreciate that feedback. One final one here. It says, hi, everyone. Just wanted to tell you that I have the good fortune to be able to listen to kpcg.fm at work. I really enjoy the TD, KOD, TH, etc. So all the acronyms are there. I have one suggestion. Perhaps someone could look into posting the title, composer, and artist for each piece of music that you play when it plays sort of like Pandora. You're off to an excellent start. That is something that, by the way, that we talked about early on, as I mentioned that to the marketing and the IT departments back home, that I noticed that same feature when listening to other radio stations here in the UK, Classic FM, for example, and you hear something you like and you see the name and the composer and all that right there on your phone. Very handy. So maybe that is something that we can work toward. I know I'll be back in Edmond, by the way, next week, and we'll be, I'm sure, discussing that and a few other things as we continue with this expansion of God's work. It's an exciting, exciting work to be a part of, for sure. As I say, I'll be in Edmond at headquarters broadcasting from the radio studio there on the campus of Armstrong College. In fact, I'll be in transit tomorrow, so Brad McDonald will be filling in on the Trumpet Daily. So I won't be talking to you again until next week. In any event, the next time we meet up, I'll be, as I say, broadcasting from Edmond, Oklahoma. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG, 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma, and the live stream, which goes into 79 countries and more. It's available at kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. An exciting, pulsating, vital third of all the Bible is devoted to prophecy. And approximately 90% of all prophecy pertains to our time, now, in this 21st century. It is a warning to us, to our English-speaking peoples, of immediate life and death import. The prophecies come alive once their doors are opened by this now-discovered master key. The United States and Britain in prophecy will open, to open minds, this hitherto closed vital third of all the Bible. No story of fiction ever was so strange, so fascinating, so absorbing, so packed with interest and suspense as this gripping story of our identity and our ancestry. Request the United States and Britain in Prophecy and a free one-year subscription to the Trumpet magazine right now. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
In a coworker letter that my father sent out in April of 2011, he reminded the supporters of this work, of this last letter that Herbert Armstrong wrote to his supporters, to his church, before he died in January of 1986. At that time, in 1986, God's church had become a worldwide work. There were 1,200 ministers, just ministers, serving in the worldwide church of God, serving 725 congregations around the world, in 57 nations around the world. The church had a weekly attendance of 120,000 people or so. There were even more supporting the work as co-workers and donors, about 210,000 of them. The church's annual income, listen to this, in 1985 it was $163.7 million. That made it the most popular American ministry at the time. The World Tomorrow program, 382 television stations, again, making it more popular than any other religious program in America at that time. There was no magazine, no news magazine that went out as much as The Plain Truth. The Plain Truth, produced in 7 languages, a worldwide circulation of 8.4 million. That was more than Time Magazine and Newsweek combined. And yet, as far-reaching as God's work was in the days before Mr. Armstrong died, he actually said in the last coworker letter that he wrote that the greatest work lies yet ahead. The greatest work is ahead. Let's look at John chapter 4, the Gospel of John chapter 4. Now, for those that were part of that organization or who are familiar with that history, of course, we know all about what happened to the Worldwide Church of God after Mr. Armstrong died. And we've talked before about what could have been had his successor, Joseph DeKotch, followed in his steps. What could have been had his successor been faithful to that legacy? He wasn't, and the work just fell apart. Here in John chapter 4, Jesus encounters this woman of Samaria at Jacob's well. Christ's disciples, you'll remember, they were off in the city buying food while Jesus had this exchange with the Samaritan woman. And then when the disciples returned from the market, they were upset by the fact that Jesus was talking to this Gentile woman. Notice verse 31, it says, "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, 'Master, eat.'" So we're picking it up in the middle of the exchange here, but the disciples are trying to get Jesus to eat something. And verse 32 says, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." That was Christ's response. Now, these disciples didn't yet have the Holy Spirit, and this statement confused them. They were thinking in terms of physical food only. And Jesus went on to teach them something profound, something meant for God's disciples today, something God wants us to learn deeply, that spiritual food is what keeps us going. Spiritual food. Notice verse 34, "Jesus said unto them, 'My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work.'" That's what fueled Jesus Christ. That's what kept him going. That's where he received his sustenance. It came from spiritual food. His purpose in life was to fulfill God's will. It was to do God's work. That was his passion. His passion was to finish the work that God had given him to do. That's always the way it is with Christ's disciples. Look at some of those letters that have come in response to this program, to this radio station. And you see the passion. I saw it in this woman up north just over the weekend. You see the zeal. You see the excitement for the work of God. Here's what my father had to say in John's Gospel, the love of God. He said, "This is the key to having passion and high spirits. The work of God has a built-in vision of joy. It always keeps us looking beyond the difficulties of the present and seeing where this is all leading." See, if your heart is in God's work, then you're going to be passionate like God, because God's heart is in his work, his number one goal. As Jesus said there, God's number one goal is to finish the work. That's why Christ was full of joy. He had the same goal as his Father in heaven. This is why Mr. Armstrong was so passionate. This is why he was so joyous. It's because his passion was for doing God's work. You think back to those of you that heard Mr. Armstrong. I've played a few of those clips from his old radio program. And you see you hear the level of excitement and enthusiasm that he had for God's word and God's truth. When he was talking about God's work, I mean, that's when he really got the most excited. He always conveyed such a tremendous excitement about God and God's work because his heart was in the work. That was his life. That's what he devoted his life to doing, God's work. Continuing from my father's book, John's Gospel, it says Christ wasn't even thinking about physical food. His mind was on why he, the Word, was made flesh. It says, if you get your heart into God's work and give it everything you have, it will give you all the exuberance and joy God has to give us on earth. See, you put your heart in this work that God's doing, and it's going to keep you stirred and motivated. It's going to bring passion into your life. It's going to fill your life with purpose. Verse 35 says, Say not you, there are yet 4 months, and then the harvest comes. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. Now, this is the verse that Mr. Armstrong referred to in that final coworker letter that he wrote. It's the same one that my father reminded us of in that 2011 coworker letter that I quoted just a moment ago. God is saying to you and to me, there's a huge harvest out there just waiting to be gathered. God's plan of salvation, in fact, it's typed by the two harvesting seasons of Judea. There was the small spring harvest and then the great fall harvest. And I think what's interesting here is that when you consider this analogy being used by Christ, you look at it in the natural world and you know, from planting seeds to the harvest, there actually is a four-month period or so from the seeding time to the harvesting time. But here, Christ is saying, don't even think that way. Here's where the analogy breaks down. Don't think you have 4 months until the harvesting begins. He says, now is the time to begin harvesting. Now is the time to really put your heart in the work as if you only have a day or two or three left. So here's Mr. Armstrong's final letter. This is January 10th, 1986. And he said to his co-workers, the greatest work lies yet ahead. And the work at that time, as I said at the start, it's huge. It was huge. It was right around the world. Hundreds of congregations, over 1,000 ministers. 8 million getting the Plain Truth magazine, hundreds of TV stations. And yet what did Mr. Armstrong say as a 93-year-old man in the last letter that he sent to his supporters? The greatest work lies yet ahead. Never before in the history of the church has it been possible to reap so great a harvest. It has only been made possible through modern technology, beginning with the printing press, radio, television, and rapid mass transit and mass communication. Now, this was something he wrote in 1986. This is well before the development of the internet, the digital technology, the mobile devices, apps, the internet online, streaming. And yet, even in 1986, here he was acknowledging that technology is what made it possible for them to reap a much greater harvest than ever before. It is something to get excited about. These new opportunities, these open doors, new stations, new programs, a radio station. Back in the late 1980s, a couple, 3 years after Mr. Armstrong died, or the early 1990s, it was painful, that history. You remember those final words of Mr. Armstrong, the greatest work lies ahead, and then the administration that came on the scene after him, they just ruined everything. They destroyed that work, as one of those emails brought out. He couldn't even get Mystery of the Ages again. That had been buried. There were 7, 8, 9 years that you couldn't even get it. We had to pass them around. People had to borrow them from friends. And then finally in 1997, we started distributing that book. And then we had to fight 6 years in court just to be able to mail that book to people like you. What an amazing work this has been. As I say, the college started right around, it was in the midst of that lawsuit. 2001, since then Imperial Academy, God's House in 2010, the radio station in 2015, Edstone in 2014. You could go on and on and on. Let's go over to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. It's easy to look back at that history. It is painful history. And at the time, you could have easily just said, they ruined everything. I guess the work's over. I guess we can just fold up shop here, hang on to our Mystery of the Ages, and hope for Jesus Christ to return soon. But God's disciples can't think that way. They've always got to be thinking about harvesting. They've always got to be thinking about more laborers, expanding the work. Matthew 9, verse 35, it says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, and they were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. That's what God sees when he looks at this world. God doesn't see a bunch of people who need to be pounded by curses. Correction is coming for sure, but God has no pleasure in seeing the wicked suffer. It says that in Ezekiel 33. God looks at this world and he sees scattered sheep with no shepherd. He sees ignorant people who desperately need to be educated. Now look at today's world compared to what Jesus saw back then, 2,000 years ago. When he looked on the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. And so should we be moved. It should really motivate us in our prayers. Notice verse 37. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. That's the mentality that you have to have. That's the mentality that I need. If we see this world the way God sees it, we're going to earnestly pray that the work would grow and expand and that God would add more laborers. We've got to be work-oriented in our thinking. God's work-oriented. We have to be commission-oriented in our thinking. Human nature, of course, wants to run away from responsibility. Human nature tends to be lazy. Human nature prefers the smooth lifestyle. Human nature prefers a lifestyle with little or no responsibility. But that is not why God brought you along to support this work. That's not why you're listening to this message, so that you can take it easy and travel the smooth and easy way. God wants you to be motivated to get his warning message out to the world. That's the essence of God's love. Christ so loved the world that he gave himself. God so loved the world that he gave his son. And if we love the world, then we're going to get out there, even if it's uncomfortable, even if there's a lot of pressure, we're going to get out there and do the work. Again, verse 36 says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Now let's just conclude over in Daniel 11. Daniel chapter 11. We all need to contribute as much as is possible to this great work. Pray the more earnestly. As you look out at what's happening in this world, and we're talking about it quite a lot on this program, as you see it, have the empathy, have the compassion and the love that God has, and really pray that the work would expand, that the message would get stronger, that the laborers would be added. Daniel 11:31, it says, an arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice. And they shall place the abomination that makes desolate. So here's the first reference in the Bible to the abomination of desolation. There's a spiritual application here. The way Satan deceived so many of God's people in this end time was by desecrating the place where God dwells. And then he destroyed the work. He destroyed the place and the work. The work stopped. In Pasadena, as I say, the administration that took over for Mr. Armstrong, they ruined the work. They buried the literature. Verse 32, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. See, the majority, they're corrupted by flatteries, lying words, Satan's seduction. But those who are strong spiritually, they do a work. They do exploits. The people who know God, they stand firm and they take action. That's what it says in the Revised Standard Version. That's what the King James means there with that word exploits. It can mean heroic act. This little flock of God's people, they understand. They understand the truth of God. They understand what's at stake. They know their commission. They're motivated by love. And it says there that they instruct many. They do a great work for God. Verse 33, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they, the many, shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. See, we know so much. And with this comes heavy responsibility. Now look, a lot of people are not going to heed the warning. People don't take time for God in this society. And the pull coming from the devil is so strong. And the deception is everywhere. But that doesn't stop God's disciples from going out and seeing that there's a great harvest to be done. in Daniel Unlocks Revelation, our little booklet, it says, if you look at what God has done through his people year by year in this small work, you would have to say these are some pretty impressive exploits. But we will do many more heroic acts if we use God's universe-sized strength. The greatest work is still ahead. You see, if there's one thing we know about God's work, it's this. The greatest work always lies ahead. And so that's why when the door opens, you see this work walking right on through. Because we know here's another opportunity to expand, to grow the effort, to reach more people, to get more people to listen like you're listening to this program right now. That coworker letter, actually this is not from 1986, this is much earlier, but it's Mr. Armstrong writing in 1966. He says, this great harvest could be so much bigger if only there were more laborers helping. Fellow laborers, we need twice as many co-workers helping with their prayers as well as their tithes and offerings to reap the spiritual harvest. You see, the laborers, we need more of them. Those who really want to get out there and labor with Jesus Christ. There's so few of them. But you know what? God says he'll give us more so that we can finish this work if we do our part, if we pray to God. If we pray for God to send more laborers, God says he'll do it. That's a promise from God. We have to go to God now and claim that promise. Will you do that? Will you do that for God's work? You should. We all should. We have to. We must do it for God and for his work. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma. The live stream goes right around the world. You can reach it at kpcg.fm. Don't forget to email us your feedback, td@kpcg.fm. Hopefully we can read a few of those comments on the air sometime next week. As I said, I'll be in transit tomorrow, so Brad McDonald will be filling in for me. So thank you for listening, and I guess that means I'll be talking to you again next week.